Welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of the Italian-American moment. I'm your very proud host, Frankie D, and we can be heard at ItalianAmericanLife.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, your podcast app. Please like us and follow us on all the social media outlets. My guest today is Ryan Burns, the author of My Dear Antonio, A Love Story. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to talk.
Well, thank you. And I was looking forward to this after reading your book, My Dear Antonio, which I believe just came out this month in March of 2024. You had sent me a advanced copy, and we're going to talk all about that book and how much I thoroughly enjoyed it. But first, let's get a little feel for your background, where you're from, the family lineage in Italy, and so on.
Yeah. So I am both of my grandfathers are Irish, and both my grandmothers are Italian. So this book is about my mom's mom, that side of the family, and so they are the Orlandos and the Di Nicolas, and they come from Sicily, small villages outside of Palermo. So there's a village called Pardinico that is, you know, a little outside of Palermo, and you know, it's a beautiful village. It's not too far from the Mediterranean Sea, and historically, that area had a lot of very famous vineyards where they make lots of wine and, you know, things like that. Yeah, very idyllic.
Have you ever been there? Yeah.
No, I've never been there. I want to go there. My other family members have.
But you've never been to Italy at all?
No. I really want to go, though.
You have to go. Ironically, Pardinico, I have friends from there. I mean, from
cool.
And here in Chicago. And so I guess it's Pardinico Borgetto. It's like these two towns that are next to each other. That's a small world. Yeah, quite a few people here in Chicago that are from Pardinico.
Wow, very cool.
Yeah.
I still have family that lives there. And I've talked with them through email, but we had to translate the emails because I don't speak Italian. So, but yeah, one of these days I'll go meet them in person.
That's an absolute must for you. If you don't have a lot of time, I always advise people, go to Rome, because you have to go to Rome. You have to go to the Vatican. There's so much there. And then go down to family's town.
Yeah.
If that's all, you know, if that's all the time you have, a week, 10, you know, 9-10 days, so be it. But you have to do that. Yes.
Yeah.
So where are you from now? Are you from New York or?
Yeah. Well, when my family left Italy and Ireland, they settled in Brooklyn, and then after that, their kids kind of joined the military, and then just kind of got moved all over the country. My dad was in the military, and I was born in North Dakota on the Air Force base there. And then we lived in Ohio and Illinois, and I went to college in Iowa. So I'm from all over the Midwest.
Kind of a Midwest. Basically. Where in Illinois did you live?
Outside of St. Louis. It's a town called O'Fallon, Illinois. Not O'Fallon, Missouri.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're a Midwesterner, but I understand now you live in New York, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Just in August, I moved to New York. In the summer, I went to the NYU Summer Publishing Institute, and then I got a job in publishing, and I've been here like 5 months, 5 or 6 months. I'm getting used to it. I'm like,
Are you liking, you know, Brooklyn, New York, big city? Because obviously you're from smaller towns.
Yeah. It took a lot of getting used to, but it's also, in a way, felt like, almost felt like home in a way, because this is where my grandparents lived. I've been talking a lot to my Nana and my Poppy, who are, my Nana is the daughter of the characters in the book. And he grew up not too far from where my apartment is, actually. And so I can walk around the city and go see where their house was. I can go to Midtown Manhattan and I can see where Antonio's barber shop from the book used to be. Where they went to church, where they got married, all these sites from the book. And I think that's really fascinating.
That
Feels like
is,
I'm getting back in touch with my history. Yeah.
yeah, no, that's amazing. I mean, that
Yeah.
you would end up in the spot that was started, like, I'm assuming, like, well over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, very nice. That's great. Okay, so I understand you wrote a book before My Dear Antonio. Tell us a story about that, because I believe you were quite young when you wrote this book. During college years. So tell us about, so the book was called Royal Beauty Bright, and you won a gold medal in the 2020 Independent Publisher Book Awards. But tell me the background of that book, because I understand you were quite young when you wrote it.
Yeah, that was my first like serious book that I wanted to write. Before that, I'd self-published some things for fun in high school, but this one, Royal Beauty Bright, it tells the story of the Christmas Truce of 1914, which was this true event in World War I, where all of the soldiers, they kind of a lot like lost faith in the war, I guess, and they all decided that they just wanted to put their weapons down and have a party, and so they had a giant spontaneous grassroots ceasefire. It was totally unplanned, and everyone kind of just unanimously decided they didn't want to fight anymore. And then there's the British and then the Germans in the two opposite trenches. And they came into the no man's land and had a giant Christmas party. Same thing happened with the French, and then on the Eastern Front with the Russians. It was all across. Peace broke out.
So they
And I
celebrated
thought,
it together. These opposing forces celebrated Christmas together. And this is all a true story, correct?
it was a true story. And when I heard that story, that was so crazy to me. I felt like I had to write about it. And so in the story, there are these two brothers. One of them is on the autism spectrum, and they didn't know what autism was back then, and so the brother was like mistakenly like drafted into the army, and then so basically his estranged brother, who like doesn't talk to the family anymore, has to go bring him back home from the front line, and that it's kind of about their journey. Set against the backdrop of the Christmas truce. And I thought it was such a crazy story. I had to write about it. And
How did you hear
yeah.
about it?
Yeah. I think I first learned about it in my history class in high school. And then I wrote the first draft of the book towards the end of around the time I graduated high school. That spring, I wrote the first draft of the book, and I think the idea was pretty solid. Like the concept of the book was pretty good, but I think I could have done better with like the execution, the writing. I feel like I've learned a lot about writing since then. But yeah, I rewrote. I had to go through a lot of rewrites, and then around my sophomore year of college, I got a deal to publish it with a small, very small indie publishing company. And then it came out my senior year of college, around the time I graduated. So,
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, so you're in a high school class, you're learning about this in a history class in high school in North Dakota, and you
That
just,
was an O'Fallon.
oh, you were in O'Fallon, Illinois at this time. Okay. And you're just so fascinated with this that you proceed to basically write a book about it. Now, I mean, was it difficult? Like, you had to get all this research, I'm assuming. Like, was that all difficult, this process?
I read a lot of books about the Christmas truce. There's a lot of nonfiction books out there with a lot of great sources, and they have all of like the primary accounts of the soldiers who were like writing letters about the truce back to their family, And yeah, and there's also a museum in Kansas City. It was the National World War I Museum, and they have a research library there where you can go and look at some of the letters and the yeah, that was really interesting. And then I read All Quiet on the Western Front to get some of the background details figured out too. But yeah, I had to do a lot of research to figure out like I had to figure out like so like what regiment would this character have been in if he was like stationed in this particular city on Christmas Eve, how would he have gotten there? And then I had to like work backwards to figure out like where the regiments were stationed and everything. Was fun.
So going off of that, then, is this where like you got the bug, like I want to write more, I want to be a writer. And how did it go from that to I want to write something about my family history?
I've always wanted to write, ever since I was in like first grade. I read like crazy when I was in school, and I always knew I wanted to write, and I was just trying to think of a topic that would be suitable for like a professional novel that could get published at a big publisher. And so I thought Christmas Truce would be a good starting point because I read books around the time I was in high school, like All the Light We Cannot See, and like the World War I, World War II period, was a pretty popular topic to write about. I figured that would be a good story, especially because of the tie-in to Christmas. So yeah. And then basically after I wrote that, I was trying to I wrote some other manuscripts for other books, and I sent those out to agents. And I went to the NYU publishing program and got a job in publishing, and I built up all these contacts in the publishing industry to try and learn more. And so I would pitch these books to agents, and a lot of times they'd say like, "Oh, there's already a book about that." And so I think I learned a valuable lesson, which is that you should write about things that stories that nobody else can tell, that only you can tell. And so I was asking like, what's a story that only I can tell that nobody else has? And then I started becoming interested in my family history some more. And then that's where the My Dear Antonio ended up coming from. A lot of discussions with my nana about the family history.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, because you would have needed somebody in the family to give you all this. So, did she have a lot of knowledge of the family?
She I talked with her a lot about the family history, and I became obsessed with trying to figure out like what exactly happened so I could like reconstruct it. I just wanted to see what it would have been like. And so she would tell me the story, and then I'd write it down, and then I'd she would read it, and she'd go, "Oh, that's a nice story, but that's not what happened." And then I'd be like, "Oh, so I'm obsessed with like getting this right. So like, what actually did happen?" And then, I took all these notes, and she sent me a lot of old family pictures, like old black and white pictures from 100 years ago, and letters that people wrote. It was really interesting.
Well, you were lucky
And
that
then,
she had all these things, that she kept them all.
very lucky.
Let
And
me ask
then, yeah,
you,
sure.
not to interrupt. So, My Dear Antonio, love story, that's defined as historical fiction. Is that correct? Okay, can you define what historical fiction actually is? This, a dummy like me, because I don't really understand that.
It's fiction, just made up stories that are like dramatizations, and then anything that takes place in a historical backdrop. And so since this book is about my great grandparents who were actual real people, it's Well, I still count it as fiction because it's a dramatization of their lives. So I take their lives and I kind of put it in a novel form. So I treat them as fictional characters, and some of the stuff in the book is made up. Some of it is streamlined, but I try to stay true to their actual life story as much as possible.
Okay. And
Yeah.
this is so the information you were getting was from your grandmother, correct? Who
Yeah.
would be their daughter?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a
Yeah.
pretty good source. I mean,
Yeah.
how old is your grandmother, may I ask?
She is in, let me see. I think she was born in 1931 or 32. I don't actually know.
Oh, wow. So she's
Right.
about 90. She's over 90. She's about
Yeah.
91, 92.
Yeah.
Okay. And this
Thank you.
the corresponding with her back and forth about the book, that was what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, and in 2020, 2021. Yeah.
Okay, so she wasn't young, but
Yeah.
yeah.
It's bad. I should know
No, that's
when she was
that's okay.
born. I forgot. But
Yeah, no,
yeah.
that's all right. No, that's great. And I gotta say, first of all, it sounds crazy, but I love the feel of the book. Is
Oh,
it
yeah,
did you
thanks.
pick that? Like, I wonder, like, it has that, I don't even know how to describe it, like a very it's just got a very good feel, like it's a different type of paper. You know what I mean?
Oh, you can thank
Am I
the
going
publisher for
crazy?
the
Yeah, well, tell the
paper,
publisher they did a great job. I love
yeah.
the feel. But more importantly, I'm an avid reader, but I'm not I have to read what I'm interested in. So I'm not these type
Yeah.
of people that you just give them a book and they read. There ain't no way.
Yeah.
I be interested in it. And I basically read in bed, when I go to bed, in bed, you know what I mean? And as my eyes start to close, I, put the bookmark in and that's it for the night. It could be a page, it could be 8 pages, it all depends. The book, your book, it was that type of reading for me where I had trouble stopping because it was so interesting and I wanted to know what was going to happen next.
Oh, that's great.
So to me, that's a real surefire sign of a really good, interesting book. Because, when they say, like, I couldn't put it down, it's very true. Like, I really, when I first got the book, it's a big book. I am not a fast reader, I am a slow reader. So I'm like, oh my God, this is going to take me like a year to read this book. And quite the contrary, I read it
Yeah.
for me at a very quick pace because it was so interesting. It was such a good story. There, I don't want to give it away, obviously. It was a different twist. It wasn't the typical immigrant from Italy come to America, New York. It wasn't just that at all. And it was
Yeah.
very interesting. I mean, very job well done. I mean, it was a great, great book. What an interesting past. It's great that you brought this out. It's great that you had grandma to feed you a lot of this information because this is this is the protocol. This is the poster child. You're the poster child of get those stories from our relatives because, when they're gone, the stories die as well. So,
Yeah.
thank God you sat down and did this. So, no, great job. Wonderful job with the book.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm glad everything worked out.
How are sales going? Because I know you just released it. When did you release it? 3 weeks ago?
It came out on Tuesday this week. So
Oh,
pretty recent.
this
Yeah.
week. Oh,
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought it was a few
Yeah.
weeks back it came out. And
Yeah.
how is it going so far?
Oh, good. We had the On Tuesday, I had the book launch party at a local indie bookstore that's not too far from where they lit where their house was in Brooklyn. So the location was perfect. There were like 20 people who came, and I did a reading from the book. It was really fun. I really enjoyed it. And then I have some other events coming up too. There's this group called the Order Sons and Daughters of Italy and America,
Yes.
OSDIA. Yeah, and they're very active in New York. They have there's a different chapter in like every neighborhood practically. And so I joined the chapter in Williamsburg, and they've been very supportive. And they some of them came to the event, and we have events set up in the future with the Italian clubs. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, that's great. Yeah,
Yeah.
keep pushing it. Keep
Yeah.
promoting it. That's for sure. Excellent.
Yeah.
We actually have, it's too late now. We in Chicago at the Italian Cultural Center, we run a IA Italian American Literati every year
Oh.
event that I want to, I mean, it's going to happen in about a week. I think this is our 20th year doing it, 20 or 21. And
Wow.
we bring these, all these Italian American authors in. It's on a Saturday. It's an all-day event, and they get X amount of minutes, and they talk about their book, maybe read a little bit from it. It's a great networking thing. There's all these authors. There's all these people that come. I mean, we usually get about 70, 75 people at the event, and then we provide lunch. So midpoint of the day, we provide lunch. It's all free. They sell their books. It's a very nice event. Possibly next year, if you're interested, you could come to it. It's
Yeah.
usually in April or May, but very nice event. So no, that's great. And I love to see our own people promoting our own
Yeah.
authors, our own books. So what's the future hold? Are you gonna, I know you're gonna write more books. That's obvious. I could see it in your face. But would these, are you looking into more Italian American based books, more about the family? What's that about?
I think a big lesson I've learned about writing is that it's not just about like the writing, but it's also about like the context of or the type of story you're writing. And I've noticed that a lot of people have been interested in these Italian American stories because there's a lot of Italian American groups that feel like it's they're hearing about their own family history. I feel like if I had just written like a standard like sci-fi novel, it probably wouldn't have gotten as much traction. So yeah, so I think I could make more Italian American books in the future, especially if I build up an audience in this with the local Italian clubs. And I have a lot of other family stories that I didn't even get to in this book. So there's a whole story about the Duke and the Duchess, and his cousin was the Antonio or Vittorio Orlando, who was the prime minister during World War I. So many other like side stories that I wanted to get into, but
That was a character in this book, correct?
yeah.
Oh, I see. So you could go off of a character. Oh, that's a great
Yeah.
idea.
Yeah.
About IM Books in Boston on the North End. That is a bookstore exclusively for Italian American books, Italian books in Italian. Yes, IM Books, North End
What
of
is it called?
I am books.
Oh, okay.
So it's like Italian American, but it's I am books. Right
I'll
in
have to reach out to
the
them.
end.
Yeah.
The owner is Nicola. He's from Italy originally. He had a little bit of a stay here in Chicago, and a very nice guy. And like I've been to enough of these IA literati that we do in Chicago, and the thing they always preach is we, the Italian Americans, we have to buy our own books. We have to, all the authors, all the, we have to support each other is what I'm trying to say. So
Yeah.
no, that's
Thanks. Yeah.
wonderful, and keep doing it. My only advice, the next book, you tell that publisher, get that same paper for my book, because it just feels so good. I can't describe, it's like a suede or something. It's just a very nice feel. I really like it. So no, all kidding aside, excellent book. I highly advise it. I'm so happy to promote Italian American authors and their books. And all kidding aside, it was an excellent read. So my hat off to you, and best of luck in the future. How do we find, my dear Antonio, a love story?
Yeah, you can go to my website, Brian Burns Writes, And it will take you to the sales page for the book. You can get it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Bookshop.com. Wherever books are sold, you can look it up and we'll be able to send it to you. So, yeah.
Okay, great. Great. Everybody go out there and get that book. You will not be disappointed. Ryan, thank you so much for the interview and excellent job on your book and all the best in the future.
Great. Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you, Frank.